Grail.
BBC Somerset.
Thank you very much, James. It is Money Saving Week on the show this week, and this morning you're getting an opportunity to ask Dave, our expert, any question you like on savings, pensions, investments. He's here to answer your questions. It's an Ask the Expert special. So we just remind people of some of the things we've dealt with so far. So we had Bev get in touch asking about what savings account to open for her grandchildren. Just remind us of a brief run through of the sort of options she has.
A simple savings account with some of the high street institutions at about 3%. You can consider junior ISAs. There's child trust funds. There's also, believe it or not, pensions that can be an option for children. It depends upon what the need is, but quite a range.
Peter Mills brought up the bond scheme, because that's launched this month, isn't it?
Yeah, the 65-plus guaranteed growth bond, otherwise known as the pensioner bond, with market smashing rates, really fabulous rates, although one or two little ties.
And even my mum got in touch to bring up this huge issue about being able to take that lump sum.
From pensions, yes, absolutely. There is, certainly from April of this year, there's much more freedom and flexibility, as well as your tax-free quarter that you have always been able to take. You're now able to take the rest of it as well, although there are lots and lots of things you should consider before you do.
Call now 0345 303 1566 to ask your question, or text 81333. Start the text you send with the word Somerset.
Ben McGrail.
BBC Somerset.
And it's on the point of pensions that will continue with Sheila in Midsummer Norton. Hi, Sheila.
Oh, good morning, Ben.
Thanks for your call. Go on, fire away.
Right. I had a small pension with a well-known company. It pays out £32 a month. Now, because of the small cost, I thought, well, I'll write to them, the administration cost, I would write to them. What happened when I retired, I took a lump sum, but I did not buy an annuity with it. They're just paying out on a monthly basis. I wrote to them and said, would they be prepared to pay it out because of the administration cost? And they said the fund stood at 10,800 at the moment. If it fell below 10,000, they would pay it out. I just wondered if there's any restrictions on that, because there's very little between 10,000 and 10,800.
Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
Great question you have there, and you just fall foul by £800 of what's romantically called the triviality rules.
Right.
And that says that if you have a pension scheme, any pension scheme of less than £10,000, you can have it all out. The rule is you can take a quarter, and the remaining three quarters should give you an income. The good news is that from April of this year, the triviality rules disappear, and you can have full flexibility. You'll be in what's known as drawdown, won't you? Does that ring a bell with you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yes, you are falling foul of triviality at the moment, but in 2 months' time, you won't be.
Right.
And then you can contact them and ask for all the money out. Do bear in mind you'll be taxed on that.
I understand that. You know, the tax issue is not a problem. But it's just, because it's so small, I just thought maybe they would pay it out. And that was the answer that came back. But now you've put me right. I thought the rules would change after April of this year.
Yes, indeed. Well, good luck with that.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Sheila. It's 0345 303 1566 to call the show this morning, or text 81333. Start with Somerset, please. You can ask anything you like. And it, you know, we've dealt with pensions quite a lot. You can continue to ask your pensions questions. That's fine, because that's going to be such an issue that affects so many people. It might be about the bond scheme. It might be about a savings account that you want to open up in some way. Maybe it's a question about debt. Maybe you're looking at debt management and you want to try and work out the best way to deal with things. Any financial planning matters, Davis here to answer your questions this morning. 0345 303 1566. The lines are open to take your call, or text me 81333. Start the text you send with the word Somerset, please. It's 8 minutes past 10, and this is Adele. I've just been telling Dave, our money expert, that in the last year, I think I've managed to get myself into a financial position where I finally feel like I'm on top of things, because as you know, over the years, it can be easy to get into debt, whether it's a credit card or a loan, and university. You know, I went to uni. It racks up. It racks up. So for the last 10 years, I've, you know, you barely see credit each month. The wage goes in and you think, oh, I'm nearly there. And then, so finally, paying off a car, credit card, loan, thanks to sort of a bit of an interest refund from the bank and stuff. And when you get on top of things, and I'm not entirely on top of things, but when you do, it makes you feel a lot better.
It is. I said to you previously in the previous appearances that when you go from being a borrower who's a bit worried about it to having it under control, or even ideally an emergency cash reserve, you've crossed a line which you probably will never go back over again. It's an amazing feeling to get it under control and to think, you know, my finances are the right way up.
Well, both of us understand how tough it can be to manage your money, and I'd love to speak to you this morning if you've got any concerns that we can just help you with. 0345 303 1566, the number to call. Now, Richard's listening in Burnham. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling. I know you've got some worries, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had a pension since 1986. It was SERPs at the time. It's been taken over by four companies. The last one is Friends Life. And at the present moment, there's only £7,300 in it. At the beginning, well, the first couple of years, there was twice that much in a pension. And I just wondered where it all had gone to.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
That is a terrible story. And you may have heard me 10 minutes ago saying that the old days pensions were expensive and poor performing. Nowadays, they're not. The modern pensions are not. You've just found yourself in one of those old schemes with high charges that's been taken over by these consolidators. And I'm afraid it sounds as if you've just been a victim of those old schemes with high charges and poor performance. The question really is, what do you do from here, isn't it?
Well, I'm 60 next week and I can draw it out then, you see. But as you say, I get 20% taken off the 75% in tax.
Yes, and I guess as an advisor, what I'd like to know, and perhaps not now on the air, but is your other circumstances, what other savings, what other pensions you have. And
I've only got the works pension now.
Okay, and an estate pension in 6 years, perhaps.
Yeah.
And so really it might be that you're better off not taking the remaining 75%, just take the 25% and leave the remainder invested, depending upon your other circumstances. But it's not a no-brainer. Lots of people say to me, I'll take it all out, I'll pay 20% on the remaining three quarters. Well, don't do it just blindly. Think about, is it worth waiting? Would you be better off in the long run by waiting? But yes, that is a choice that you can make.
But Richard has options, though.
He does have options, yes, lots of them. And albeit that, you know, You might think of it as a small sum. I guess, you know, every little helps, doesn't it? Mm. If you have a state pension not due for 6 years, you've only got your works pension to rely upon, paying 20% tax on money you don't need to is worth considering other options, possibly.
Richard,
I've only been in the works pension for 12 months, and I've got more in there than I have in the last one of 28 years.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say you really have suffered. What gave pensions a bad name is exactly what you've experienced.
I hope you get it sorted, Richard. Clearly you've got options. So thank you for calling us and all the best.
Thank you for your advice.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Richard in Burnham there. It's 0345 303. Somerset's Citizens Advice Bureau. They've got some tips on dealing with debt and energy saving for us today before 11. And keep your questions coming in for Dave as well. He's answering your money-saving queries this morning. 0345 303 1566. To call.
A new year and a new show to BBC Somerset.
Right, Dave, I have an email for you from Keith Hoskin, who's got in touch. Hello, Keith. My wife and I have investment trust shares held in ISAs. Tax on dividends is paid at source, and we are standard rate taxpayers. We now have more money to invest, which exceeds the ISA limits. We're considering changing to a joint investment account to hold the investment trust shares. Is there any advantage in retaining the ISAs? I think that having a joint account will simplify our affairs in the event of either of us predeceasing the other. That's a good one. It's a very formal term for it. I'm 71 and my wife's 61. Okay, well, ISAs are savings accounts so you don't pay tax on up to a certain point, aren't they?
They are, and the simple advantage of an ISA over having an investment trust in an ISA or not is that the one that is held outside of an ISA will pay capital gains tax. So when you sell it, if you have a gain above a certain amount, you'll pay 18 or even 28% on that gain.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, so having the ISA allowance wrapped around that investment trust is a good thing to have. Now, in terms of simplification, Keith, the good news is that once again, George Osborne has dropped a bomb in the financial world, and he has said, whereas previously your ISA allowance dies with you, for spouses now, that ISA allowance can be transferred to a surviving spouse. And so if you have lots of money in ISAs, each of you, then it's worth keeping them because the surviving spouse will be able to retain that ISA allowance. Now, in terms of simplicity, you know, you're right in saying now you're going to have an ISA each plus another investment to mop up the rest. But you can have all of that on one platform. They're either known as platforms or wraps. So any of the big companies nowadays, effectively, it's one product into which you roll up a couple of ISAs and other investment trusts. So you can keep it simple, but that tax advantage of the ISA is really worth retaining.
What's the ISA limit again at the moment?
It's £15,000, and it's on the way up with inflation from
tax
next year.
Yes.
Each per person. So between now and April the 6th, Ben, you can get £60,000 into ISAs as a married couple.
It's quite generous, isn't it, now?
It is. And when we're talking about retirement today, or even pensions, I try not to discuss pensions. I try to discuss planning for retirement, because that might well include ISAs. It might well include a buy-to-let portfolio. There's various ways you can get the money you need in retirement, not just pensions.
When I popped into my bank the other week, they actually moved my ISA because they said, oh, this other ISA we've got here has got a better rate at the moment. And they're actually quite good, the banks, I think, now at giving you the best options there. And they have to be, don't they, because it's so competitive for them.
Yeah, yes, I don't hear many of those stories, Ben, to be honest with you.
Well, I was lucky then, by the sounds of it. I thought, that's my heart, dude.
Yes, I mean, which magazine only this week have publicised how unhappy they are with these zombie accounts, which people left dwindling on 0% rate.
Goodness.
So if you have a bank that's doing that for you, stick with them.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good advice. Thanks so much. David's here all morning taking your calls.